the home of WDRT's slowest running duo, Studio B. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Yeah, man, that's absolutely accurate. I looked at some of the pictures. We would finish last in that race. A slide man in his trombone would beat us in a race. Factual. You don't think... he's quick. He is very athletic. He is...
I mean, maybe in the hard, but not long distance, I don't think. Well, I mean, I could probably do it.
I didn't just specify how long this race would go. Yeah. I bet most of us couldn't race from here to...
Well, I used to run long distance in high school.
Used to is getting longer and longer ago, isn't it?
I understand that.
It is. Welcome. Things are good?
Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah, man, it's been a nice week once again. It's nice to be here.
We're here a little earlier than usual.
Very much earlier in the week. Work has to happen before the fun happens, so... Normally, we record this on, Thursday night. We're doing this Tuesday. So you're not going to hear anything that happened from, call it, Tuesday through Friday on the show, which is okay. Mostly, it would just be more Brewers things that would fill in the gaps because that's the only sport that's currently going on.
Well, unless somebody breaks an ankle or something in training camp.
Next week. It's coming. Yeah, I mean.
That's this week.
That's training camp starts tomorrow, right?
Today and the rookies for 19.
Season has officially started for all NFL fans everywhere.
Yeah, the NFL Network has finally doing live broadcasting. And
they've got things that sound like
they
news.
They have things to talk about.
You can't see, but quotation mark news on the NFL Network. Yeah, we're back. The NFL season, I can see. The bulk of this, of what we're going to talk about, is going to be NFL-related.
Thank God.
Yeah, I mean, I'm into it, too. But if we could just do an NFL show, we could cover an hour every very boring hour. But we would absolutely enjoy ourselves for a whole hour. So to start off, Brewers in first place. Yeah.
Oh, again?
Again. And forever now. They're just going to stay there. They had eight games in a row against the Reds, four to before the All-Star break and four afterwards. They won six of them. They're now two games over Cincinnati. Cincinnati lost this morning or this afternoon. They're 2.5 games up on Cincinnati, and nobody else in the division is even close. It's a big... They were 5-1 against the Reds. The next games they have really are the season. Essentially for the Brewers, from here till August 1st, they're three games against the Phillies, who are
well and above
500. Then they go four against the Braves, who are probably the best team in baseball, three against the Reds, and four more against the Braves. So I just want to stay optimistic because if they can stay, that's the hardest part of the season for them.
Because otherwise it's the Pirates, Rockies, White Sox.
Yeah, no, they're
Dodgers.
I said this month is it's an oddly scheduled month with a lot of interleague and back to backs, and then they're, like I said, they're playing the hardest teams in the National League to finish off the month. So, and after that they get the Nationals, they get some the low end of the schedule. So yeah, this is the time to root extra hard. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no. But rally caps every day is how
they're currently losing to the Phillies right now in the top of the ninth.
4-3, give or take 4-2, something like that.
4-3.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to stay optimistic, so you can't stop that. Things that happened for the Brewers this week: Wade Miley once again on the disabled list. The Brewers' best pitcher when healthy this year. It is his second trip to the disabled list this year, and get this, 10th trip to the disabled list in the last 3 years. The reason he has bounced around to about six teams in the last 8 years is because he is always hurt, pitches really well, and he's always hurt. So he's hurt once again. Yeah, it was I think it's an arm thing. It was earlier in the year. It was a lat injury. Just, you know, he gets hurt a lot, so he's hurt again. He, like I said, he's been their best pitcher. Corbin Burnes is their most talented. Brandon Woodruff might be their ace of the staff, but he has pitched two starts this year. Yeah, Corbin Burnes pitched really well the other day, but Wade Miley's hurt again. He'll miss another 2 weeks. So, you know, you're going to see the quadruple-A pitchers get shuffled up from Nashville once again for the Brewers. You're going to see, some unnamed triple-A starters. Adrian Hauser probably gets a start. Somebody else. So that was new. The other news was Corbin Burns was told by the management that he was not going to be traded, which
they said that last week.
Which is always he assured he's came out and said this week that they told him and they assured him, which is like I said, that feels like almost
some Monday he'll be gone.
You know, that, yeah. Former Brewer Corbin Burns feels like that's gonna go. I hope not. Because like I said, they're winning. They're doing okay and they're winning, so just ride that out, you know. Christian Yelich is still their best player by leaps and bounds. Willem Contreras, the catcher, DH, is second best positional player. He's been doing, great hitter, playing catcher. So that's it for their team. Doesn't look like there aren't enough big names on the trade market that the Brewers can find. So I don't think their team changes much. Anybody who's tradable seems like a fringe guy, even though the Brewers roster is filled with fringe players. They do not need to add another one because their minor league system is good and getting better. So just stay. If it were me, and I'm clearly not in charge, but I would ride this out. You don't need to make any big changes. Nobody in that division is playing really well.
Does it really matter? I mean, once you get to the playoffs, if
the Brewers qualifying for the playoffs is always a success, that's an A-plus season every single time for me. I would love to see them win a series because they have never I'm trying to think if they've won a playoff. I don't think they've won a playoff series in my
85 or 80s.
82 was their World Series team, and I was not born. No, I was a very wee child when they won a postseason game. Other than that, it has been 30 years. If they can make the playoffs, that's a win for me. So that's it on the Brewers front. Like I said, okay, this is another big 12-game stretch.
By next week, we'll know.
I will officially declare the season on or off.
By next week,
to start. We'll still talk about them every week. But, yeah, on or off. Getting to the thing you're excited about. I saw you inching forward. NFL minicamp has officially underway, as we mentioned.
For 9 teams, rookies checked in today.
Sure.
So
for give or take, every team's roster is set.
Friday's everybody else.
Yep.
It goes in, I think.
Any coaching changes have been made? Any player changes have been made by this point in the year? Your roster is essentially your roster. You've drafted.
Well, you've got 90 guys to see who else can make the team at this point, so.
So if you start with 90, you whittle it slowly down to 53.
It's incremental.
I was going to say it's somewhere between 50 and 60 because there's practice squad guys.
They get down to 70, I think it is, and then they whittle it down to 60-something.
You get
an
emergency third quarterback now.
Yeah,
very
great.
Exciting. An extra roster spot.
Emergency third running back.
Impossible. There's only 10 good running backs in the league. Every team gets
and none of them are getting paid.
None
right
of them
now.
Get any money, so you don't get two of them.
Yeah,
no,
right.
You don't get three of them for sure. So along those lines, I want to talk about 5 questions for the Green Bay Packers. None of which are Jordan Love.
Okay.
No, zero. No, that's the obvious and clear for that. You know, since he got drafted, is what's he going to turn into? Granted, almost everything to do with this team is very directly related to how good Jordan Love is. So we'll skip him completely.
Okay.
But we'll start at the top.
Okay.
Who's the number one receiving option for the Green Bay Packers? It is now 2 years removed from Devontae Adams.
Watson?
Last year he was finally, at the end of the year, when healthy and figuring out how to catch the ball, was your number one big play guy. He didn't look like a Devontae Adams where you could throw it to him 12 times, 15 times in a game. They don't have... Jalen Reed was drafted in the second round. Romeo Doubs was the most consistent player on a very underwhelming offense. He was a fourth-round pick last year, that panned out really, really well, and for a while was the only healthy, good receiver playing.
Yeah, because
the
they were all off and on. Yeah, everybody just horrible.
Lazard wasn't playing. Cobb wasn't playing.
Yeah, Cobb doesn't matter.
Watson
really
didn't show up. You know, they are not...
They're not strong in that area.
You don't think so, but... Let's just say,
but they also picked up a tight end though in the draft too.
That was the other part too. Is they drafted a tight end in both the second and the third round. Tyler Musgrave, they say, looks like a pro. He looks like an all pro. He's built like he's 6 foot seven, like 245.
They know what they're going to get with him.
Looks, if he's healthy, they drafted a lot of guys who had injury concerns. So,
oh, good.
And also when you double down on a position like tight end that early in the draft, it tells you you really are concerned that that guy isn't going to be healthy to start your year because you need somebody to fill a roster spot. So yeah, Tyler Musgrave or I think the other Jordan Croft or something was the other tight end. Those are your options. Most of the time, unless you're the Chiefs, your number one option is not a tight end.
Yep.
And very, very rarely is a rookie tight end going to
wow you.
Going to make defenses shift. It just doesn't happen. Right. I can't.
And if it does, it doesn't happen until midway through the season.
They start to realize.
Because they go, oh, hey, he's actually pretty good. Yep. So let's plan for him. Because, but by the time they plan for it, not till the end of the season.
So Jalen Reed, Jalen Reed.
Yeah.
Probably going to start out in the slot, but he looks like he's a three-year starter at Michigan State. He's run all the routes.
Sure.
He could be your
Mr. Dependable.
Your guy, go way back and say a Robert Brooks type that, Antonio Freeman. You keep him on the field because he just keeps doing the things correctly.
Right.
So, maybe he's that guy.
So wide receivers.
That's an underwhelming list of wide receivers and tight ends. Then the other option is Aaron Jones your most dependable wide receiver or receiving threat at this point? Aaron Jones is one of the better receiving running backs in football. You wouldn't know it from last year's production standpoint. I watched a lot of Packer games because they're on the TV, and why is Aaron Jones hand it to him? He's in the backfield. Are inarguably a top 10 talented running back, well enough where you should give him the ball. But part of the reason he was so good when they had Jamal Williams at him was because he caught the ball. He could get you 6-7 receptions. Last year, it seemed like he'd get maybe 10 touches a game all the way around.
Yeah.
And that's not enough.
Well, what about A.J. Dillon?
I mean, they say he's improving as a pass catcher, but he had a great rookie year, and then he's slowly turned into an average running back. It feels like he's better for the community and the team because seems to be a nice guy who helps out and does a good public face, but I feel like he's a career backup.
So
he could be former Packer by the end of this season, and that'd be fine.
That's
number one. Number two is, does the offensive line stay healthy? Last year's offensive line shuffled all over. You had two rookies starting at certain points. You had two rookies starting in the offensive line, which is not good. Explain an 8-9 season.
As
a Vikings fan, once you get to that second and third level of offensive line depth, your team is
just hoping that he just holds it a little bit.
Eldon Jenkins, David Bakhtiari, and Josh Myers are the three best.
Is David actually going to be starting this
year? To say, you've got those three guys are your three best, and they might not be there at the end of the year. Josh Myers was a first-round pick who was replaceable because he got hurt, and Zach Tom, a sixth-round pick, a fourth-round pick last year. Very, very weak on the offensive line. But if they're healthy, David Bakhtiari and Eldon Jenkins and Josh Myers are three of the best offensive linemen. Yeah. That really makes a difference.
Yeah.
So that's a big one because that makes your receivers better, running backs better. It makes your quarterback serviceable.
It just helps everybody.
If he's not running backwards, doing fadeaway passes for the entire season.
Or running for his life.
So so that's a big one for him. The third question was what to do about the running backs. When you have Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon and a very inexperienced everything else skill group, I would love to see them just go very old school and give me about 35 running plays a game.
Sure.
Just a lot of traps, just a lot of smashes, just a lot of.
Running backs aren't really that important anymore.
They're not. You could apparently run a team without a running back.
Apparently.
Is what a lot of teams are getting closer and closer to doing.
As of yesterday, three running backs, we'll not say the free agents, but there's three that did not sign their franchise tag.
Interesting to me that they were three running backs who've already made a little bit of money are now standing up and saying, we're not going to take it.
Right.
This isn't right because guys like Christian McCaffrey, who have a guaranteed contract for $16 million, are now saying it's not right that some of these guys don't get $10 and $12 million. Clearly, Christian McCaffrey is a better running back than NFL GM.
Well, he's also, technically, he was their fourth string quarterback last year, too.
Yes. Yeah.
But he can run, he can catch. He's the package deal, which is going to be Like your Bijan Robinson, probably.
And there's the thing. There's a salary cap in football. So teams figure out how to construct it, and they are running within dollars of that salary cap. So if they can't afford a $10 million running back, it's because they can afford a $12 million receiver or offensive line or defensive lineman.
Or
so
quarterback.
Cornerback. There's so many positions that are valued over running back. So for the Green Bay, like a lot of teams, I mean, they could arguably have the best running game in football next year if they decide to just really run the ball, control the clock like they tried to do.
Which they probably will do a lot more now with Jordan Love. You would think so.
You'd think you'd be first and 10, let's run it. Let's get us to second and six. Second and six is a nice manageable spot to be in. So that's going to be all year. You're going to just see tons of all year, like, where's the running game at? Number four was the first round talent on the defense finally going to equate to winning, to being a good defense. I'm going to make you a quick list. Well, it's not even quick because there's eight of them. Devontae Wyatt, Jaire Alexander, Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness, Quay Walker, Eric Stokes, Darnell Savage. That is eight first-round picks on the out of probably 11 or 12 best, you know, your defensive 11 or 12. You have eight first-round draft picks on that defense. That is an overwhelming amount. If you were that amount of talent didn't appear on the Baltimore Ravens defense of the early 2000s. That didn't appear on the Bears defense of the Monsters of the Midway. That amount of talent should win you a championship. And so far, it has equated to a lot of injuries. A couple of these guys are pretty underwhelming. And so you've had to double down. Like, Lucas Van Ness was drafted because Rashawn Gary was hurt. Or Quay Walker kind of looked iffy as a four, there's three down linebacker. Eric Stokes was drafted because they needed a second cornerback because Jaire Alexander, as good as he was, missed an almost an entire year. So all that first round talent, and they've now changed D coordinators to Joe Bear. They didn't replace him last year. 2 years ago, they replaced a defensive coordinator. They're rolling them all back. They've got Jaire Alexander was hurt last year.
Till the end of the season. Then he stopped JJ.
Yes. Once. No, you're talking Jaire Alexander. Rashawn Gary was hurt. Jaire Alexander is a top flight. He's a top three cornerback in the league. So I'd really like to see all of that talent win something. It's not Madden. We're not playing video games here, but these guys should win you ball games in a weak division filled with hittable quarterbacks. You should be able to win games with just this defense.
It's a big should. Minnesota Vikings, look last year. Defense did not win us anything. We still got 13-4.
Well, and that's where a team should be able to. I believe that the Packers should have as good of a defense as the Vikings had offense last year. Sure. They really should win healthy. There is no reason because not listed in there are guys like DeAndre Campbell, who is a really good middle linebacker. Adrian Amos was pretty good as a safety. So there's no reason that this team shouldn't win just on defense alone. So for me, if you're not winning, it's going to be almost has to come down to the defense at this point because they can scheme for having a rough around the edges offense where it doesn't look pretty. But
your defense can stop the other team from scoring and you just score 14 or whatever, that
14 to 10. Let me see some 14 to 10 wins. I don't think the Packers this year are going to win a lot of 37 to 35 games. But they might win a 7-5 game. They might win. I don't think. Yeah, I would say this if I was going to make a bold prediction: any game the Packers score 30 points, they should win. I would assume that they would go. They shouldn't lose. If they can get to 30, they should win every time with a defense like that. Or otherwise,
but the problem is nobody knows.
Well, all of these guys could be besides like a Van Ness or a Quay Walker, Devontae White. Any of these guys could be gone. Then, if you're a first round pick making a ton of money and you're still losing. I don't want to see Rashawn Gary resign. Kenny Clark could go. You're not winning with him.
Yeah.
Please don't spend the money.
I think this year is going to be a big experiment.
Well, and that was
it's really between offense and defense. I mean, all these guys on the defense need to prove themselves.
Reprove yourselves. Yeah, that's fact.
You know, and then the offense just needs to figure out something.
It's a brand new everything on offense. And that was the number five. Can they avoid being last in the division? Right. Yeah. It's a good question.
I think it'll be a good year.
And given enough pause, can they win the division?
Yeah. I think it's up for grabs.
Does the breaks go either way, that they could finish last or first in this division? They could very easily win 5 games and watch the Bears win 7. They could very easily win 11 and watch the Vikings win 10.
Or Detroit.
Or Detroit win Detroit, 10.
Detroit, you know? I think Chicago's still another year away.
Three odd wild cards in the NFC Central, because I would assume North. What the Vikings should be. But the Lions... But the Lions have never been good in my lifetime.
Right.
This would be the first time ever. The Vikings have been good in my lifetime. The Lions have never been good.
Right.
I've never watched them be successful for more than a half a season ever. So I don't believe...
I mean, they came out good, and I love what Dan Campbell's doing there.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
I really do. I'm a fan.
You really do.
I don't like being a fan of them, but I am.
It's a strange thing. Your second favorite team has just turned into the Lions from Dan
Campbell. And they've got a lot of things, but they also... Like a lot of teams, they've changed. You know, they got rid of their premier running back from last year.
Yeah, they have 3 new running backs. They're putting a lot of faith in guys like Jared Goff.
But he looked good last year.
I mean, speaking of betting on, the Lions of all teams have been really good at betting on things this year. Yeah, the offseason.
They kicked your Packers out of the playoffs last year.
They did. They did.
So I think the North was going to be a fun thing. I don't, you know, you want me to... give you my at least couple of concerns for my Vikings.
What do you got about the Vikings? Yes.
So I'm not worried about... I mean, everybody blows, you know, the Kirk Cousins thing out of... I mean, he's still better than the lowest half of the quarterbacks out there.
He's still not on the halfway. Like, there's a...
No, he's...
We made that list. We made that list.
Everybody makes a list, and he's either 10th or 15th.
Yes, he's not a top 5 guy. He's certainly not a bottom 5 guy, but you could rank him anywhere in the middle of those 10.
He's in that David Carr...
Yeah, no, not David Carr. Is it David Carr? What's the other Carr? Sorry.
I can't.
You're right. Yeah, first round pick. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
But, you know, so I guess I think Kurt has to prove himself because this is his contract year.
That's wild. Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's 35.
Sure.
Likeable guy. I mean, he won games.
Is he, though?
I think he is.
I don't think he'd be super fun to hang out with.
I think he'd be great.
He seems about the least fun of any of the quarterbacks.
Better than Marcus Mariota. But,
We'll watch that. It's on Netflix. Somebody should catch
quarterbacks.
That.
Yeah. So I don't put Kurt there. My offense, I think, is going to be really good. I mean, except I don't know about running back because we got rid of Dalvin, but it's a running back.
Apparently, you don't need a running back. We just covered that, yeah.
Our offensive line's all right. It's been better than it has been in years. We got Christian Darrisaw there. That's top 10. He's been, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the offense. It's all the defense. With bringing in Brian Flores, you know, they pretty much eliminated
everybody
on the cornerbacks.
For the casual NFL fan, they eliminated anybody you know from the Minnesota Vikings roster. Patrick Peterson, Eric Kendricks, Anthony Barr.
Anthony Barr was
a couple years
ago. Yep.
Who else am I missing off that list?
But a lot of the starters from the cornerback, they're gone.
Yes.
So as Brian Flores is putting his finger on this, you know, but they brought it. I think right now, the 90-man roster, there's 12 cornerbacks.
Yeah.
You know, they took in a free agent, Byron Murphy, from Arizona.
He's really good, or second round.
Yeah,
he's very athletic.
Yep. They drafted another one in the third round, I believe it was.
Yep, from USC.
Yep. You know, so there's depth there. You know, it's the linebackers. It's, you know.
So it really is defense.
That defense could be on question number 1, 2, 3, 4. And then the fifth, I mean, you're looking at special teams.
They were good last year on special teams, right? Yeah. Like, their kicker has been adequate, and they have a return
game. So I remember a year, because I'm old enough, I remember a certain year in 1998 where our special teams were perfect.
You really love misery, because we will circle... You will circle back to that kick by that... Do you remember he missed a field goal, right, in that game?
Yeah. But that was one of the highest-producing offenses. The defense was spectacular.
Sure.
It should have been.
Yeah. That was his...
But it's always been a reoccurring theme.
Oh, man. Vikings fans are the
field
best.
Field goals.
You got yourself all the way there by yourself. I love that.
Minnesota Vikings doink.
Yeah, it's not the double doink, but it was... I mean, wide, right? How do you... He didn't miss one all year.
I know.
That was so fun.
I know.
That team was so good.
Yeah.
So good.
So my concern... I mean, Kirk Cousins, I guess, is going to be always a concern. I'd like to have a younger quarterback. At some point, they're going to have to.
The draft is coming.
Only
10 months to go, and we will talk about next year about the Vikings quarterback situation in the draft.
Trading up and Oh, yeah, because Minnesota has great history of trading up and getting quarterbacks.
We'll get our list out. Yeah, we'll get our list.
But I don't – I mean, it's really the defense is going to be – you know, I don't think there's a question about the offense. Yeah, the offense was great last year.
For a 13-win team, they sure have a lot of questions.
On defense. I mean, yeah. I don't think the – I think a lot of hype is about the question about Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, when you look at the other teams who were really good last year – there aren't the amount of questions that there are for the Minnesota Vikings. Like Giants were good, and the Eagles were good, and will be good again. You know, these teams are going to be great. Vikings won 13 games, and they might
they're kind of a laughing stock a little bit.
They might lose 8, 9, 10 games this year, and nobody would bat an eye.
We told you.
Yeah.
But one quote that Kirk Cousins had in the Netflix special quarterbacks was, "If I walk on water, it's because they say I can't swim," is a quote.
I don't understand that quote. I'll have to write that one down. I'll have to look.
I'll double check that one.
That documentary, that Netflix series produced by Peyton Manning, that's worth checking out. I'm sure it is.
So that's my Vikings.
That's your Vikings. It comes down to Kirk Cousins and a defense, which for the last 5 years, that's pretty much it. Then along those same lines, I was going to ask three big NFL questions. Like, what is three big things happening in the NFL beyond the things that happen for the teams we root for? I like the Packers. I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan, and I won't bore any local listeners with the Arizona Cardinals situation, because it's really underwhelming laughable. as it could possibly be. That franchise just continues to circle the drain continuously. So, no, we won't talk about that. We will talk about things like, who's the second best quarterback in the NFL? Obviously, the best quarterback in the NFL is, that Tom Brady has officially retired, is Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
He's won multiple Super Bowls and MVPs, and he's still in his mid-20s.
Do you want to play a song, or do you want to keep on talking?
How much time we got?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Let's just talk.
Okay.
We'll cover music.
Because we could talk. I mean, we could debate the second best quarterback, because I think you could say...
Well, that's it. We did, and then we should. Yeah, we'll do music next time. We'll make sure we do this song, because I do like music. But second best quarterback in the NFL, I say it's Jalen Hurts.
I say it's Joe Burrows.
It's one of those... Depends on what you like.
I mean,
Allen, too, is...
If it wasn't for all the interceptions and the fumbles and... But I think it's Joe Burrow. I think what he is, he's got that sense on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts is a phenom. Nobody's going to question his athletic ability. I think this year might be a step down. They lost. You know, they lost their OC that helped groom him.
They did lose.
They lost the defensive coordinator.
They had a really great draft, as they seem the Eagles do every year. Jalen Hurts put up numbers that were untouchable. Like numbers that are just... You can't scheme against him. I would have no idea.
He could run like he's
If you play him for the run, he will throw the ball over you. You're right. Players like that are one big hit away, which is where Josh Allen is kind of the middle of
he's
both
big,
of those.
He's big. He's strong. I mean,
but he also loves to fumble and throw interceptions at the wrong time.
Thank you for fumbling at the goal line.
That's a hard thing to get over when you consistently are the guy who turns the ball over. That's where Joe Burrow, who has gotten hurt, but he has a great offense.
Yep.
Zach Taylor was a coach of the year, going from should have been a fired coach three years ago to a just absolutely
phenomenal.
So that is going to be an interesting thing all year. The other one is, who's the worst team in the NFL?
Texans. Okay. You only got 20 seconds. Or not even 20. You got 10 seconds.
We'll do all these things next week.
Yeah.
This has been really, really good, man. Best show ever. Thanks again to everybody for all the things. Have a wonderful week.
Don't forget to check us out on Spotify, on the web at WDRT.org.
Thank you, everybody.